I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, I'm joined by Athens Clark County Mayor Kelly Gertz. We'll discuss his vision for the Classic City when it comes to housing, economic development, and other priorities. That's next on Athens News Matters. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. I'm joined by Athens Clark County Mayor Kelly Gertz. Thank you so much, Mayor Gertz, for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Alexia. I really appreciate the opportunity.
So there's a lot going on, I know.
And absolutely.
I just want to ask you a little background before we get into some of the issues that are facing us now. But I know before becoming mayor, you were a longtime commissioner, and though it probably seems like you've been in Athens forever. Actually, tell our listeners how you ended up here.
Sure. So I came in the mid-90s for graduate school, ended up getting a master's degree at Piedmont College, who had just opened up a campus here. And then about a decade later, came back to school at the university to do graduate education in educational leadership. And really anticipated when I arrived that I was lucky to be able to spend a couple of years in what I knew to be a cool town. I'd visited here a couple times in the very early 90s and just found it to be a neat place and really thought I would move along and end up in Asheville or Durham or Richmond or somewhere a little bit larger in the southeast, but fell in love really within a year of being here with Athens and found it to be a place where culturally and in terms of the vitality of the town, found everything here that I'd ever experienced in a town 10 times the size, but also in an environment where I didn't have to sit in traffic for 45 minutes just to go get a bag of groceries. So that was a real sweet spot. And so by the time I finished grad school, I was committed to being here and was ready to wait tables and do room service for another year after that, if it took that, just to be able to stay in Athens. And fortunately, Maxine Isom was kind and rescued me from that fate and hired me to teach seventh graders at Coyle Middle School in 1998. And so I started 20 years in public education here that also coincided with that 12 years that I spent on the Clark County Commission.
So Athens has the appeal and lure of a good quality of life. And you can get to most places in Athens in a reasonable amount of time.
That's right. Every time I find myself a little bit frustrated when I've waited through two or three light cycles on Lexington Highway, I remind myself that if I was in Metro Atlanta or back in Norfolk where I grew up, that would be 10 light cycles. And so so I try and calm my own nerves when that happens.
Right. And so, Mayor Gertz, I wanted to ask you, why did you decide to run for mayor? Because you'd been a longtime commissioner and you were certainly affecting change on the commission.
I felt really good in the role as commissioner. I learned an enormous amount, as I continue to learn quite a bit now. Athens is full of people who are generous and being willing to offer some of their wisdom and knowledge. But I knew that in a coordinated way, as mayor, you can just put a lot more on the table and gather resources together. One of the things that I've often said is that it's not really the things that come straight from my mind that are the great things that I've done. It's the ability to gather together a bunch of other smart people at the table. And I have found, amazingly, when you're mayor, people answer your phone calls. And so
a perk
of being mayor. That's right. They pick up the line. And so I've been able to leverage that to bring together people around a whole host of things, from a greater environmental opportunity to greater public space prospects to better housing opportunities and some economic development work that's forthcoming too. So already in just a couple of months on the job, quite a bit's underway. And of course, a lot of this was bubbling under in the months and years prior. So I don't want to deny the work of certainly Nancy Denson, my predecessor, immediately, and even the folks prior to that. So none of this stuff starts from zero, and I don't want to pretend it does.
You don't exist in a vacuum.
That's right.
Right. Speaking of being mayor, there are perks, but then there are some not so nice aspects to mayor in Athens, I think, regarding the fact that it seems to be treated as a part-time position when the job is clearly full-time. And even salary-wise, it doesn't seem commensurate with some of the other cities in a similar size.
That's right. If you look at the other unified governments of comparable scale in Georgia, Columbus, Muskogee, Macon, Bibb, Augusta, Richmond, they are situated differently just in terms of salary. I think when the governments unified, the former Athens and former Clark County unified in 1990, there was some desire to sort of limit or diminish what's now called the mayor, and in fact, at the time wasn't even termed that. It was the chief elected official. And so in the charter, it was designated as a part-time job. But very quickly, and I think Gwen O'Looney would confirm this, it made itself evident as a full-time job and nothing else. If you'd look at my calendar any day of the week or any week of the month, things are packed to the gills from 7:30 in the morning, often well into the evening, and there are often weekend events as well. So one of the recurrent things that happens in this government is a review of the charter every decade. And so that'll be happening in 2020. And a recommendation I'll be making is to formally designate the role of mayor in the charter as a full-time position, just given all of the work that's necessary to effectively do this job.
Yeah, this is a good-sized city to have a part-time, on paper, mayor. Obviously, the mayor has to be full-time. I know as a reporter trying to meet up with the mayor, I thank you for finding time for me, but I know your schedule's busy. We work around your schedule, but you do make time for the media. So I want to say kudos to you for that, Mayor.
Part of the necessity of this. So I'm glad to talk to your listeners.
And tell me what your priorities are for Athens.
Well, one of the things I think is true, and you've heard this in other contexts with organizations, public and private, with artistic pursuits. If you think small, you're going to get small results. But if you think big, then you at least have some larger prospects. You might fall a little bit short sometimes. Things might not move as quickly as you want them to move. And I can already tell you that that's true in some cases. But I really want to see Athens be everything it possibly can be. We're such a well-resourced community. We have such enormous assets, such fantastic people that live here that are just so smart. Before we went on air, we were talking about some younger members of the community that we know. And I meet 22 and 23-year-olds every day who I'm confident I'm going to be working for in a decade. I mean, this is just a community of fabulous people. And so I want the community to reflect that fantastic set of folks. And I want that true for everyone in the community, particularly those folks who've been historically marginalized. And so it's no secret that despite this great set of opportunities, despite the great wealth of this community, there's an enormous part of the community that's been lagging behind. If you look historically at the life of the African-American community in Athens, from the time that the city was founded in 1806 until right now, that chunk of the community has been left behind. And so that great divide, that gulf, is something that I won't stand for, and that I'm going to do everything in my power to move past. And I will say, I think we can move past it in a way that's going to benefit everybody. Because whether you're in a business and you're looking to expand your pool of potential people to hire, whether you're thinking about public outlays around support for those who are in need, or whether you're thinking about developing Athens into a place where economic prospects are even greater, the more people of resources we have, the more people of great education we have, the more people who are building wealth through home ownership that we have, the stronger we all are.
And I also want to talk a little bit about mental health. I spoke with Erin Barger with Envision Athens, and she said, of course, like in most communities, there's room for improvement when it comes to mental health or behavioral health needs. And would you agree with that statement? And where would you like to see, I guess, improvement if possible?
Absolutely. Well, I think it's true worldwide that life can be challenging. And some of us have family resources, financial resources, you know, access to healthcare that allow us to get back up when we fall down. You know, other people just need more help. And so one of the public sector supports that we can provide is to ensure that people are getting to the available community resources like Advantage Behavioral Health Services and other private and nonprofit providers as quickly as possible when they exhibit need. So in the upcoming fiscal 2020 budget, I've programmed additional funds to double our police department Advantage Behavioral Health Services outreach unit, which has been underway for a couple of years and really is a model in the state. And I've also programmed funds for a street outreach unit so that as soon as people are on the street and in need of help, it may be mental health need, but it may be substance need, it may be housing need or educational need or other things, that they encounter somebody who can steer them to help. So those are two programmatic things that are either being initiated or expanded in the coming year.
Well, one of the things I know that when you were a commissioner, you voted for that was increasing salaries for all full-time county workers. And
that's right.
So that everybody has a living wage.
That's right. And part-timers as well.
Oh, part-timers as well.
Yeah.
Right. And so what kind of impact does that have on those employees immediately, but also on the community in general?
So effectively right now, if you work for Athens-Clarke County, whether you're part-time or full-time, there are no positions that pay less than about $12 an hour. Now, and there aren't even that many positions that pay between the $12 and $15 an hour. The vast majority of our 1,700 employees are above that $15 an hour mark. And of course, if you're full-time, have great benefits too. Defined benefit retirement program, good health insurance, and a good place to live. And the other thing that we also have to think about as a big organization that's in a good economy right now, competing with the private sector and other public sector employers, is that we need great employees and we want them to come here and we want them to stay. Because you want quality people who are working for you, whether it's in the planning office or the leisure services department or transportation public works. We want those bright folks to come and we want them to settle here and develop the institutional knowledge that makes for an even stronger organization and a stronger community.
And, you know, as you said, most people tend to think of people who are not working or, you know, very low wage mm-hmm. earning. But these potential solutions could also impact people who have more solid finances but are struggling to get a home in Athens-Clarke County.
That's right. I mean, for somebody right now who makes $35,000 a year, they'd be hard-pressed to find a place to live in Athens. And I want those folks who work here to be able to live here as well. Right now, we have about 50,000 people a day who come into the county to work from out of the county. Some of that's by happenstance. You've got, you know, a couple and one member of the couple works in Metro Atlanta. One member of the couple works here. So they split the difference in terms of geography. But there are a lot of cases where people would love to live here in Athens because they work here and they're going to continue to work here, but they can't afford to live here. And so we've got to be conscious of that. And that has some other community benefits too. I think people are best situated when they don't have to spend a lot of time in traffic. People are best situated when they've got access to both their employment resources and their kind of leisure and fun opportunities.
I have to say that I feel a little spoiled that I live in Athens mm. and work in Athens, and I'm less than 4 miles away from my job.
No, I share that sense of being spoiled. I mean, I'll tell you straight up, I bought my house on Pulaski Street in 1998 for $89,000.
Couldn't do that now.
Couldn't do that. Couldn't buy
course.
For three times that
well,
now. And
good and bad.
And I realized how fortunate I was to be a first-year teacher and be able to do that. And I want other first-year teachers and other folks to be in a similar position here today in 2019.
For anyone who may be joining us a little late, I am joined today by Mayor Kelly Gertz. So That's the voice you hear speaking on all these issues. And Kelly, I also wanted to ask you a little bit about economic development, because you touched on that briefly.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your ideas on ways to do it? It's obviously essential for any community. So what are some of your thoughts regarding Athens and economic development?
Well, along the same lines of wanting to see the entire community lifted up and lifted up high, it's critical to me that when we attract new employment, to the greatest degree possible, we make sure that that's high-wage employment. And we are so well situated in getting there, given that we're sitting here in Athens, Georgia, home of the flagship university, University of Georgia. In my mind, every activity that's going to hit the private market that comes out of university laboratory, I want to see land right here in Athens, and I'm going to aggressively pursue those. The university, fortunately, is moving into this great new innovation sector space, and so they've got something of a beta system or sort of an initial footprint being planned right now, with the next couple of steps coming probably pretty closely behind. And on the city/county end, I want to make sure that when they move out of that somewhat supported space in the innovation zone, that they plant their laboratory or their factory or their tech facility right here in town. Athens is such a great place to live, and I want those great jobs to stay here. And also want to make sure that there's a pipeline to all employment in those places. So I'm in active conversation with people in the Clark County School District and Athens Technical College to make sure that those other skill sets that are going to benefit those new high-end employers are created with threads that reach down into those institutions too.
Right. I spoke recently with Lawrence Harris, mm-hmm. with the Community Career Academy, and he was saying how important it is that their students are ready and that people know those students are ready and they can just step into great jobs. And they're getting training to actually go out and work immediately leaving high school.
That's right. That's right. And I mean, what's great is that the tech sector and the manufacturing community in Athens are very committed to the public school system and wanting to reach not just even into the high school level, but into the middle and elementary school level to begin to prepare those kids' mindsets for that sort of strain of employment. You know, when you're 10, when you're 15, you know, your idea of the future, even under the best, most knowledgeable of circumstances, is kind of foggy. But you have to begin to plant those seeds so that when kids do move into kind of that mid-high school era, when they're beginning to make choices, that they know about the good choices that they can make, and we're continuing to encourage those very fervently.
I know one of the things Lawrence Harris mentioned was getting students thinking, like, why it's important to, you know, show up for work every day, show up on time, have a certain kind of mindset that maybe you don't always have when you're just a kid, but they're
sure.
trying to actually put that in them now,
yeah.
so that the working world won't be such a shock.
That's right. I mean, I think about myself at 19. I had no clue as to what people did.
Yeah,
right. I knew what my dad did in the Navy.
Right.
I was thinking that I was going to be an artist at that point in life, and I knew that people did art. But what else people did, how those products got in my home, I had no clue.
Right. And, you know, and somebody had to show you. You had to be exposed to it. Another thing, area I wanted to touch base with you is regarding criminal justice reform.
You know, what's fortunate is that we're living in an era of great access to information and of better research and better data than there has ever been about what works in the criminal justice world, both to reduce unnecessary public expenditures like jail nights and to put necessary supports and resources in place to achieve better outcomes for those people who do get entangled in the criminal justice system and better outcomes for the community at large in terms of community safety. You know, we're in 2019 benefiting from really this 25-year arc of improvement in terms of data around crime in this community. what the FBI terms part one and part two crimes, their uniform crime report, have been down consistently. Really, we're at about 50% of what we were at 20 years ago here in Athens.
Crime is down,
crime
no matter what the perception
down.
Is.
That's right. And sure, every time a person is impacted by crime and every time somebody else hears about somebody being impacted by a crime, that hurts. And, you know, I mean, there's just a visceral reaction to that. That's just the way it is. But the reality is crime is down, even though the population is up. So, you know, the population's gone up by 30% over that period, crime down by 50%. But we can bend that even more, and we can bend it in a way that's humane. You know, I know that Chief Spruill has been on your program recently. He's a fantastic addition to this community, and certainly as our police chief, I think he's going to do great things. In his previous experience in Alexandria, Virginia, and in Mecklenburg County, North Carolina, he's been part of a lot of these kind of reforms. And some of these are going to involve multiple actors. One of the things about the way that Georgia's situated in terms of the criminal justice system is no two counties or cities look exactly the same in terms of how the judiciary is arrayed, for example. So we have an elected magistrate court judge here in Clark, for example, which is not true in the city of Atlanta. That's an appointed position there. Some places have a solicitor that's somewhat differently situated. So I'm in very active conversation with all of those players in the criminal justice system to make sure that we're being as forward-leaning as we possibly can. And I've committed to them to put those resources in place. So, for example, when somebody is arrested, you know, you can ask for a cash bond. You can simply send them home, or you can offer a continuum of services if you send them home and say, listen, you know, we don't want you to sit in jail, so we're going to send you home with what's formerly called an OR or own reconnaissance bond. But we're going to have a social worker stop by once a week to talk to you, or we're going to have you talk to an addictions counselor, or we're going to put you on just some low level of monitoring until your trial date. And by the way, we're going to be reminding you about that trial date in the same way that my pharmacist reminds me about my allergy medicine when I get the text messages and the emails. So things that a lot of jurisdictions in the country have figured out that simply work and work a lot better than cash bond or jail nights, which actually have demonstrated to be counterproductive. You criminalize people by keeping them in jail because you make them self-define as criminal. And you make them think their only opportunities in life are criminal opportunities. And what we need to do is close the door on that way of thinking and look for new pathways that are healthier for those individuals and healthier for the community.
One of those ways seems to be accountability courts. What are your thoughts regarding those in Athens? They seem to be well utilized.
They have been well utilized. So we have accountability courts in Athens stemming back more than 15 years. Around drug and alcohol addictions, around needs of veterans, even around needs of parents who've been challenged by some of their parental responsibilities. The accountability courts have consistently worked well. I think against similarly situated people who've not shown up in the accountability court, you find that the recidivism rate or the reoffense rate is much less likely for folks who are in those accountability courts. If you look on our website at accgov.com, you can see the graduation dates for those participants in accountability courts. And I encourage members of the public to go online to look for those. Those graduations are stunning because you find real human beings who, through the effort of members of the criminal justice system, including prosecutors and defense folks and the judiciary and social workers and counselors, have moved their lives in positive directions. And that's what we need to be doing for our community at large.
We are about to wrap up, but is there anything you'd like our listeners and the Clark County community to know about your vision for the Classic City?
I'm just excited to have the collaboration of so many of your listeners who continue to contact me, and I encourage them to continue to do that. I do better work when I hear from you. Again, my email, phone number are on accgov.com. So I look forward to seeing everybody out there in Radioland soon.
I also wanted to ask you about the city reaching an agreement with a former ACC PD officer He was let go, I believe, for violating department policy. Can you give us some of the details about the settlement?
Sure. We settled at the beginning of March, and there, of course, was lots of legal back and forth around the terms of the settlement. And one of the things that folks in the legal profession will let you know is that a settlement does not demonstrate any liability or any responsibility. It simply is the point that you reach where all parties realize that it is a more efficient route than some other ones. And so I don't want to convey any sense of joy or even satisfaction or anything in that realm at the settlement, but would indicate to the public that this was a route in which we were going to consume fewer resources. And it also is a route that allows us to expend future resources on doing those things of community interest that I think everybody recognizes. You know, I don't want anyone to grow up to be in the shoes of the gentleman who was struck by the vehicle. I want everybody to live in a community where, from the earliest experiences in life through adulthood, they are provided opportunity, not just theoretical opportunity, but real opportunity.
And just, I'm going to add a little bit of background to this. This was Officer Taylor Salters, who was let go after he was following a suspect, Timothy Patman, and ended up hitting him with his police vehicle. So then the settlement was $250,000 from the city. And that means no lengthy court battle.
That's correct. So the contours of this would have had four different current and former Athens Clark County employees with individual legal representation. So any movement forward would have rapidly consumed much more than $250,000, as anybody knows who's worked on legal cases of this complexity and type.
And finally, this is kind of fun. We are currently involved in a national challenge. That's the National Mayor's Challenge for Water Conservation. What does that mean for Athenians?
Well, that means for Athenians that, first, they deserve lots of praise because they've lowered their peak water usage and their average water usage considerably since the drought period of 2007 and 2008, really by about a third. And so that's a significant reduction, and we just want to keep wind in our sails. So we're part of a national contest, and there's a little sidebar to this national contest that involves the mayor of Gainesville, Florida, and myself having a little wager over which mayor will wear the opposing university town team's wear at a voting meeting following the challenge. So I am not going to don gator wear, so I am looking for everybody to sign up for the challenge.
Thank you so much for joining me today. That is all the time we have for this show. I want to thank my guest, Athens Clark County Mayor Kelly Gertz. To hear this show again, visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.